Before our service began today, a certain member said, "Preacher needs to preach a shorter lesson this morning because the food is waiting." Now, I won't tell you his name, but his initials are Richard Johnson. The food is waiting, and we're looking forward to that. John Sawyer barbecued 16 chickens early this morning. He's going to quarter them. That'll be 62 quarters. And I just can't eat over 10 or 15 of them, not the best. And he's going to bring those. He's church at Southside this morning, and he's going to bring those and be here by the time we start eating. They're in their warmers, and the warmers, and I'm looking forward to the meal. We want all of you to stay. This is an opportunity for us to get to know each other better. If you're visiting, or if you didn't think of it and didn't bring any food, I'll guarantee you that there will be enough food. We look forward to it. We have something happening this morning, present this morning, that's probably never happened since this congregation began. We have three young married couples in the audience this morning. Jeff and Emily Dotson were married May the 18th. Isaac and Brittany Bourne were married June the 22nd. And Tyler and Katie Pennington were married July the 6th. All of them have been married within the last 2 months. And this could be a tremendous thing for us in the work here. I have appreciated the older members that are here. And your wisdom and experience cannot be overestimated. Yet for the future of the church, we need some younger adults and younger children. And by the way, we have more children in the audience this morning than usual. Dylan has a friend or cousin visiting with him. And True and Ashley Smith have been with us several times, are here. And James Pierce has two of his with him this morning. James's wife was Jones, grew up in the congregation at Henderson. And we just have so many things for which to be thankful. In my opinion, the growth of the church is going to depend on the proper mixture of the wisdom of the older people and the energy of the younger people. And if we can put that together, it's going to have a tremendous effect on our work. I look for sermon ideas everywhere. My life has been centered around preaching. I preached my first sermon when I was 13. Within a few months, I will have been preaching 60 years. Now, I know I don't look old enough to have done that, but I know that I do look old enough to have done that. Let me be honest. But basically, throughout my life, my thinking process has been centered around finding sermon ideas. And I am constantly looking for new ways to approach the Bible because the Bible doesn't change. There's not a truth in God's Word that has changed during the almost 60 years I've been preaching. But I believe if we can find some different approaches, different ways to study God's Word, that will get the attention of people, that it is very, very helpful. Preacher's daughter was asked one time, "Does your dad ever preach the same sermon?" She says, "Yes, he just hollers in different places." Well, I don't know whether I holler in different places or not, but I do think there are different approaches, and we can learn and change the methods, not the truth, but the methods. And so I'm constantly looking for sermon ideas. A few years ago, I was driving late at night between Nashville and home, listening to the radio. I listen to different kinds of music. I like easy music. I like Hawaiian music. I like country music, especially the old-time country. What's claimed to be country today is not country, in my opinion. But I was listening, and a certain song caught my attention. Clay Walker was singing it. It was entitled "The Chain of Love." As I heard the words, I thought to myself, I'm going to preach a sermon from that song. And so when I got home, I began to look for a way to get a copy of it, and was able to get a copy of it, and developed a lesson on the chain of love. Now, before I share with you the words of this song, I want to remind you that 1 John 4:11 says, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." God's love came to us. Now our love needs to go to others. In John 15, verses 9 and 12, notice the word "as." "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." As and so. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. And then verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Listen closely to the words of this song, and particularly the name that is mentioned in the song just once, or just twice, only name mentioned. He was driving home one evening in a beat-up Pontiac when an old lady flagged him down. Her Mercedes had a flat. He could see that she was frightened, standing out there in the snow, until he said, "I'm here to help you, ma'am. By the way, my name is Joe." She said, "I'm from St. Louis, and I'm only passing through. I must have seen 100 cars go by. This is awful nice of you." When he changed her tire and closed her trunk and was about to drive away, she said, "How much do I owe you?" Here's what he had to say: "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." Well, a few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe. She went in to grab a bite to eat and then be on her way. But she couldn't help but notice how the waitress smiled so sweet, and how she must have been 8 months along and dead on her feet. And though she didn't know her story, and she probably never will, when the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door and on the napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress' eyes when she read what she wrote: "You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you." That night, when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered, soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe." I have a hard time reading that without tears coming to my eyes. And the basic reason is that as I look back, it would be almost impossible for me to list all of those who have helped me and all of those who have shown love to me. And many of them today, I cannot show the love back. My dad and mother are gone. My wife has been gone now over 3 years. The men and women who encouraged me to become a preacher and encouraged me in those early years of preaching the gospel are no longer with us. I can't go back to my home county and tell most of those people who meant the most to me in my early years, how much I love them and how much I appreciate them, but I can pass it on. I can be sure that the chain of love does not end with me. There are two passages of Scripture that I think especially put this in focus. And although they're not really talking about the subject of love, you can see the principle in both of them. One is in 2 Timothy 1:5, where Paul said to the young man Timothy, "Timothy, I saw an unfeigned love in your grandmother Lois, and I saw an unfeigned or pure love in your mother Eunice, and now I see that same kind of pure love in you." In that one verse, Paul mentions three generations. He mentions Timothy, the young man, his mother Eunice, and her mother Lois. Studying other passages help us to realize that those two women probably were the reason that Timothy was the young man that he was. His father was not a Christian. Paul says on another occasion in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15 to Timothy, "You've known the scriptures from a child up. You have been taught what you needed to be taught." And we know where he was taught those scriptures and who taught him those scriptures. So here's Lois, a grandmother. I don't know whether she was still living at the time Paul told this to Timothy or not. Here's Eunice. I don't know what her circumstances were. But here's Timothy. "Now, Timothy, you saw this faith in your mother and in your grandmother. Your grandmother had it. She passed it on to you." Now, he doesn't go back beyond that. We don't know what was before Lois. It may be that her parents had lived before the church was established. But I would guess that her parents had instilled in her some of the basic principles of living, the right kind of living. And now she has instilled it in Eunice, and Eunice in Timothy. And then add to that 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says to this young man Timothy, going in the other direction. He says, "Timothy, the things that you have learned of me among many faithful, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." He said, "Timothy, I've taught you. Now you teach people who are faithful and able so that they can teach others." Now you put those two verses together and you've got about six generations. You've got Lois, the grandmother, Eunice, the mother, Timothy, the young man he's talking to. Timothy is going to teach others, and they're going to teach others, at least five generations, and if you put Paul in, at least another person involved. You see the idea of passing it on to the next generation and not letting the chain of faith in this case, or the chain of love as we're talking about it today, end with you. I think this principle applies to our nation. I love being an American. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm concerned about many of the things that are happening in our nation. I watched for several hours yesterday and last night as the Zimmerman trial came to an end. I saw several things that encouraged me. I saw several things that concerned me about how things came to an end and what the reaction was. This morning I turned on the television for just a moment and the same idea is going, and of course the news people play it up and look for things to get attention instead of sometimes looking for a fair approach to the news, and at least that's my opinion. But folks, I'm glad that I'm an American. With all the problems that we have in this nation, I'm thankful that we have the freedom to be here in this building this morning and other freedoms that we have. And generally speaking, it seems to me, at this point at least, that there is no reason for us not to be able to live Christian lives. Most of our problems, at least in my opinion, that we have in this country are things that are allowed, not things that are forced upon all citizens. Now, we're getting pretty close to the other in some areas, and I don't know what's ahead. But we are allowed in this country to live a Christian life. Although we believe Christianity is being pushed down in many ways, we still can be Christians. And with all the possibilities that are being promoted concerning what constitutes a marriage and a family, we still can have families based upon God's Word. We can find happiness. We can find relationships with God's approval. And I'm glad that I'm an American. I've just been reading this past week some of the things that our forefathers like George Washington, John Adams, Thomas Jefferson, Daniel Webster said about the beginning of this country. And I'm sure that it's impossible for me to appreciate the sacrifices that were made by those who founded America. And I know that I am unable to 100% appreciate the sacrifices that have been made even by some of you in some of our wars in defending the freedoms that we have. I was never in a battle. I was never on the front lines. When I became 18, I was preaching full time, went into classification 4F, and was never called to serve our country. And I know, I say again, I know that I cannot fully appreciate what some have done. And there are many people who have given their lives to make it possible for us to be where we are this morning. You and I cannot go back and tell them how much we appreciate that. But we can pass it on. And we can emphasize to our children the good things that we have in this country. And perhaps if we can wake up the silent majority, and I still believe the majority have at least a general attitude toward God, maybe not based upon the entirety of the Scripture, but at least a general attitude toward God and morals and ethics and decency. If we can pass this on, those behind us have given their lives, we can't go back. And even some of those maybe that are living today who are helping make it possible for us to have our freedoms, we may never see them face to face. But if we can pass it on and not let the freedoms in this country die with us, then that will be the appropriate thing to do. I think this applies in our families. I mentioned my parents earlier. Think about your parents. Some of you still have your parents living, but most of us, or many of us at least, that are here today do not. I can think back to my grandparents. I knew all four of mine personally. In fact, I conducted the funeral service for all four of them. I never did know any of my great-grandparents, but I've been told about them and even back before that. And I'm thankful for what was done in my family to bring it to where my parents were and to where I am. I can't go back and thank them for it, but if I can help my four children in some way and help them to appreciate our family and what it means, and then they can help the grandchildren, and at this point I can still help the grandchildren. And I'm not as old as some of you, so I don't have any great-grandchildren, but that's going to happen one of these days. My first grandchild got married in between some of you all, so that would be a fourth one if we had them here today. If I can, and you can, pass these appreciations on to our children and our grandchildren and through them to our great-grandchildren and so on down the line, then the chain of family appreciation will not stop with us. I think this is also true as far as benefactors are concerned. If it had not been for some specific people down through the years who saw some of my needs and were able to help and did help, I'm not for sure I would be where I am today. I remember a time in my first really located work when all I had to my name was $10. And that same week, I remember a person coming by and giving me some money to help pay the bills. I've never been completely broke, but I've been bent many times, haven't you? There were times that I didn't know exactly how we were going to make things meet. And if you don't think that can be a problem, you just wait till you have four teenagers. The next time I have a family, I'm going to spread them out a little bit. But there have been many times in my life that if it hadn't been for benefactors, I couldn't have done what I did. I've had people come to me and say, if you need to go somewhere and preach, I'll pay your expenses. I've had people come to me knowing that it was a little difficulty and say, I'd like for you to have this. I can't give it back to them. There was a man that lived in Carthage, very wealthy man. Another man that lived in Chattanooga, very wealthy man. I have no idea how much those two men gave me at different times to help me do the things that I needed to do. Now, I'm in a position in life to where my expenses are not as great, and I have some means where I can help others. I can't go back and help those that helped me, but if I can help others, back some 4 months ago, a lady in Henderson called me and said, I need some help to get some medicine and some food. And I said, what do you need? She said, well, I'd like to get a gallon of milk and a loaf of bread. And when people start mentioning milk and bread, you know they are honest. And I knew this case anyway. I said, come by the house, and I gave them $30. I thought I was giving it in a benevolent way. This past week, I got a thank you card with $30 in it. The lady said, I haven't been able to work much, but I've got it to return now. I hope I'll be able to give that to somebody else. Look for things that you can do to pass it on. You may not be able, now there is a sense, younger adults and children, in which as our parents get older and our grandparents get older, that we can return to them and help them. And Charlie, you understand that at this time probably better than any of us, with the way in which you took care of your dad. But even if we are unable to go back and pay it back, as we said, we can hand it on and give it on to others. That's the idea of the chain of love. I think the same thing is true as far as the church is concerned. We had in the bulletin last week a list of 8 of the 16 members who started this congregation. 8 who've passed on. We cannot go back and thank them for the work that they did. But if we can preach the gospel and promote Christianity and promote love, and almost every week somebody in a prayer will thank God for the love that we have within this congregation, and I appreciate that. If we can promote that, we're passing it on. If we can help to have a congregation here at Madison County that's based upon God's word and is interested in saving souls and interested in serving people, and I've sort of summarized what Christianity is about in those last 2 or 3 ideas, then we are paying respect to those who helped to start this congregation. And not only that, but think about the ones that came into this area back over 100 years ago and started promoting the idea of going back to the Bible and being New Testament Christians. We cannot go back and thank them, but by living the Christian life and teaching others what the Bible says, we are passing it on. There is no way that you can return to God the love that He has given to you. There's no way. But, did you notice those verses that we read? He said, since God loved us, you ought to love God, yes, but there's more to it than that. You ought to love others. Take the love that God has shown to you, and you can't be God, you can't love on the level of God, but you can love on the with the kind of love that He has and reach out to others to show them love. That's passing it on and not letting the chain of love die with you. We are told that we are to stand as lights in the darkness of the world. We are to be as the salt of the earth. We are to be as the light of the world. And that's a part of what we're talking about. We can't go back sometimes and show the love or pay the respect that we'd like to those that are gone on, and even to God, who's very much in existence today. And that doesn't mean we should not be telling Him about our love for Him and our desire to do what is right. But folks, we can show love to one another. And we can show love out in the community where we live. You remember a week or two ago we talked about levels of love. We talked about loving our God supremely, loving our spouse sacrificially, loving our brethren and our people in the community, our neighbors, and even loving our enemies. Those are not the same levels of love, but they're all involved. If you as a dad or a mother today can show love to your son or daughter this week, you're showing the kind of love that God as a father has shown to you. And if there's some way that you can reach out and show your love and concern and service to your neighbor, that can be God working through you. It seems to me that there's a sense in which we as Christians are channels through which God sheds His blessings to others. And sometimes we may play a vital part in getting those blessings of God out to others. Don't let the chain of love end with you. Joe changed the flat tire. The lady whose tire was changed left a sizable tip to the waitress. The waitress went home to her husband, Joe, who had changed the tire. There's another angle there that could be pointed out, that there's a sense in which our blessings and the things we do to others will sometimes come back to us. And that happened in this case also, and that's a lesson for another time. But folks, I want to emphasize today that I really believe that Christianity is the idea of passing it on. God loved us. We have an opportunity to love one another. You and I have been taught the truth from God's Word. We have an opportunity and a privilege, and yes, perhaps a duty, to teach others what the Bible has to say. That's the way good things are going to keep on happening. Don't let the chain of love end with you. You and I have been recipients of love in so many ways. Let's be sure that we reach out to share that love and to give that love and the results of that love to as many people as we can. Here is what I have to say. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. When I heard that, Clay Walker was singing it. But think of it as coming from God. You don't owe me a thing. Maybe we do, but generally it's not the owing idea. Someone once helped me out. God probably wouldn't say that. But he could say, just the way I'm helping you, if you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. Now, here's how you show your love. By being a Christian, by living the Christian life. If you're not a Christian this morning, you believe in Jesus as the Son of God, penitent of sins, come confess His name, be buried with Him in baptism to let His blood cleanse you of all past sins, and then start living for Him. If you've done that and you haven't lived like you should, come asking for forgiveness. If you've done that and to the best of your ability you're living a Christian life, then just keep on and don't let the chain of love end with you. If you have a need in responding to the Lord's invitation, come as together we stand and sing. I was